when he went to save that kid from getting hit by the, what do you call that thing? The Zamboni?
Zamboni.
Is that what you call that? Yeah. This kid almost got hit and he ran out and grabbed him and slid, but he landed on his hip really hard and had to ice his hip. I was really worried that there would be a big injury and then he would be out. He wouldn't be playing. Because the whole thing for him, too, that he's struggling with is he's getting to a point where he's not necessarily the top player anymore because he's because of his age.
And he has these, like, would you call him, like, trying to figure out why he kept having those, like, panic attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you find out in the story.
Yeah,
and the Zambonis. And
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
When those would come on.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I forgot he had those.
Because he had one there at that.
Yeah.
After that. He. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't really even his fault what happened. And the guy never blamed him or anything like that.
I mean, I don't even think. Did the other person that was actually on it get in trouble? I don't think they did. Which really irritated me. Because I'm like, Doyle didn't even. I mean, Conrad didn't even do anything.
He got on to try to stop it, right?
Yeah.
The Zamboni was.
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
Welcome back to another Friday book club discussion here on the Literary Escape podcast. We are excited to continue with the Minnesota Kingston series. And this week we are going to talk about Conrad's story. But before we get into that, ladies, I have a reading question for you. Right? If you had to choose only one subgenre in the romance era category to read for the next year, would it be historical or contemporary Christian romance? And what would you miss most about the other one?
Oh, that's hard.
I'll go first this time because this seems easy. I would choose contemporary Christian romance. What I would miss of my historical is my cowboys in that Wild West time era.
Man, that's so hard because I like to switch back and forth because, you know, sometimes I'm in the mood for historical, but then I'm like, I want to read something modern. Oh, man.
Oh, the dilemma.
See, right, I was going to keep the historical because I didn't want to give up the cowboys.
Ah, yes.
But I don't, it's hard to say what you would miss about the modern, maybe all the sweet, like, I don't know, things that could really happen today.
Mine's more like the suspense of it. You can get suspense in historical, but it's not always there. And it may not
it's
always
harder
be like,
to get suspense in historical. I feel.
I don't know. I feel like my books really bring the suspense in to a point, but it's different.
It's not like they're racing around and vehicles chasing and, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, Jessica, have you had time to think?
I'll go.
You don't have to choose. This is if you had to choose.
If I had to choose.
I'm going
to
make you choose.
I would go modern.
Yeah. If you're the only one that went historical.
I like.
I mean,
if
that's
one.
It's a hard call. It's a hard call because I love to do both.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just need to switch from one. Like, you've read a lot of historical, you want some modern or kind of like when I switch genres around.
Yeah.
Like, because I love to read cozy mystery. I'm like, okay, I need a break from this.
Yeah.
Let me go read something.
I do. I mean, I think we probably all do that, right? Where it's like, I really need to switch out of something else. I can handle my contemporary until like life outside of reading gets crazy. And then I think it's too close to home. So I'm like, oh, I need to go back to historical where things were simple.
I think that's why I like it.
Yeah. If you want something simple away from the chaos of the historical,
it's great. A good escape.
I agree. All right. Well, we are going to dive into book two of the Minnesota Kingstons series with Conrad.
Rad. Meet Penelope Pepper, billionaire heiress, mystery podcaster, and a magnet for trouble. If only she wasn't so determined to unravel the mystery of who killed her sister's fiancé. Because clearly, given her recent kidnapping, with each episode, she's closer to the truth. And someone wants to silence her. Probably she needs a protector, right? Enter Conrad Kingston, power center for the Minnesota Blue Ox hockey team, and a guy with a secret. Namely, the panic attacks that haunt him every time he steps into the limelight. Hanging out with celebrity Penny is not exactly what he needs. Except Blue Ox needs ticket sales, and when a mix-up ropes him into playing Penelope's fake boyfriend, he's suddenly the social media darling, driving in fans to the home ice. Only problem, one of them doesn't know the dating is fake. As Penelope's stalker draws nearer with every juicy episode, Conrad finds himself sliding from fake kisses to real protective instincts on thin ice with his heart. But can he find his footing before the killer catches up to Penelope? Fake dating meets real danger in this clean, sweet, but suspenseful romance in book two of the Minnesota Kingston series.
I love it. I love how she describes her as a magnet for trouble. Oh my goodness, yes. That is Penelope. And in book one, she irritated me. So then I was like struggling, like, am I going to enjoy this? But it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. You end up liking her because you start to understand the why behind the way she is. I can't remember. Was she kidnapped or was her sister kidnapped as a...
She was.
She was the kidnapped one. That's right.
Which makes, I think, crazy why she's a mystery podcaster. I don't know if I was kidding. I don't know that I would want to stay in that genre.
You know, like the trauma from that.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't want to be like
reliving it every day, searching for.
Think, is somebody going to get me again? Is somebody going to attack me? Yeah.
I would have my security if it was available, you know?
Yeah.
Just totally different.
I also thought, so, I mean, you meet Conrad in the first book, so you know a little bit about him and all that good stuff. This is different for me, too, because he's a hockey player, right? I'm used to reading them where they have some sort of, like, military background or whatnot. So he doesn't have any of that, but... by the way, I love the picture on that because I thought they did a really good job. The blue eyes. Sorry, I'm just looking at the cover going, those eyes really pop out. Anyways, the whole thing about they get into this fake dating relationship, but neither one of them knows it's fake. They both think it's real until they're, what would you call them? Like their publicists
or managers.
Yeah. Say, oh yeah, you guys are doing a great job. You know,
keep faking it up
and then we'll have you split here in a little bit and then that'll help. Because it was to boost her numbers, and for his team, it was to boost the ticket sales. But then, I take that back. She knew going that it was
fake.
Supposed to be fake. He did not. So then when he finds out, he's absolutely livid. Because he's like, I thought this was a real relationship, and that we were actually going somewhere,
And he didn't want to be on social media.
Yep.
Because he's had that with a teammate's girlfriend incident.
There was an incident
that got blown up.
Yeah. Because what did they call him? Ice bunnies?
Yeah.
These like women that were always after the hockey players and everything. And so he ended up getting like a bad rap on social media when he didn't actually do anything. Because it was like, one ice bunny was with one of his teammates' players, and then there was a picture of her with him, even though
he was just being nice, offering a ride or something.
yeah, being nice, being a gentleman. Mm-hmm. But then the social media took it and ran with it.
Right.
What did you think, though? Because, like, for Penelope and her family, because you meet her family mm-hmm. now and you meet her older sister.
Older. Tia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She is older, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you think about her family dynamics? I thought they were a little strange to me.
Yeah, because it was all of her mystery started because of her sister's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Murdered,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really find yeah. out more until you read Doyle's book, like the behind, I feel like,
yeah.
why she was so the way she was with it. Because I didn't understand that dynamic until Doyle's book. And then yeah. I was like, okay, that makes a lot more sense. But
I kind of felt bad for Tia because she just wanted Pepper to drop it.
Yeah.
But you didn't know what I felt like the dad was in for a little bit. I was like, did the dad do a cover up? Like,
yeah. Because there was this, the AI little... or whatever. Was it the AI?
Yeah, something.
Something. That... And I was trying to keep track of which person owned which one. Yeah. And then it was sold and then this and this. Mm-hmm. But I
the
felt
companies. The Let's company. Just clarify yeah. that for people listening. So
they're AI.
The dad owns, they're very rich.
Yes.
Very
they own
rich,
tech companies.
Yeah.
Tia's fiance was part of a smaller tech company that then was bought out by her dad. Is that right? Something.
Or was it?
Or was it Declan?
Declan.
Or
it Declan. Was Declan.
Yeah, Declan ended up buying out because you also learned that Declan, and you learned that in book one, like he's very rich too. Yeah, so there's. So Tia's fiance is murdered over these. Tech company buyouts, do you want to call them?
Yeah.
Buyouts, mm-hmm. maybe. It's but Penelope is obsessed with finding the murder.
She thinks there's more to it than what they said.
Yeah.
Because doesn't his house catch on fire or blow up or
a lot of that, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
And she feels there was more to it, but Tia's mm-hmm. like, I just want you to drop it.
Yeah.
And yeah. There's a lot of behind there that
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, and they're rich, but they are still kind, but they are, to me, slightly dysfunctional a little
mm-hmm.
bit, you know, that family. Not terrible, but I think maybe with what comes when you have a lot of money and you are kind of in the limelight like that with it,
mm-hmm.
too. Like, I don't know. Their mom seemed a little flaky at first.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she just was like,
oh, you're going to be okay, honey. I'm going to go to my tennis lesson.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, yeah okay. I don't know. Just not like the normal
Aww.
Lovey-dovey mom that's like, come here. And, you know, like Conrad and Conrad's mom. I just feel like they're pretty
mm-hmm,
opposite
complete.
Of each other. So, all right. Thoughts on the plot, the conflict, and the resolution? You know, a scene that stuck out to me, I know we're not really there, that's kind of the next thing, was, you know, after he's discovered she's been faking this, like, his heart was really in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was really falling in love with her, and then he was like, you mean you've just been using me for your social media profile and whatnot? And remember, she comes to him because she, her window got busted out of her car, she was running.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was trying to get to her, and she got into the car just in time to
mm-hmm.
to get away. And she went straight to his house, and he was not even going to let her in the house. Do you remember that?
Oh,
yeah.
I guess. He was so
he was mad.
Because he was livid that, because that was like right after he found out she was faking it. And he's like, I'm not, no. I think he thought she was faking
mm-hmm.
this too, about being attacked.
Because it was hard to like believe then. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Because she got attacked several times.
Yeah.
She kept doing it to herself, going
yeah.
to dark alley, dark parking lots by herself.
Yeah, I know. She's not very smart. I'm not going to lie. But then I was like, at that moment, though, I was like, Conrad, be a gentleman. Who cares? Okay. Right now, you don't love her anymore. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just let this damsel in distress go back out there when there's somebody...
Mm-hmm.
hunting her right now, and he did the right thing, but I was really worried there for a moment that he would not do the right thing.
Right.
The The other scene that got me was when she went to interview, I believe he was a bouncer at the bar. Possibly. Bouncer or bartender at the bar. And she went to his apartment by herself to ask him questions. And he said, she went to leave and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. You're not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then, do you remember that scene?
I'm trying to, a little bit.
Jessica's trying to just stay awake.
I mean, no, I know. It's been a while since I've read them because I've read some other things. So
yeah. But then it ends up he was taking her. He had another clue for her as to who might possibly have been behind.
Oh, I remember that because I thought, oh my gosh, you idiot.
Yeah.
As well. What?
Exactly.
You kept thinking, why are you going by yourself? And now you're in big time trouble. I do remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Because wasn't it like a matchbook? Like they found a thing in matches.
Of matches. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other scenes that stuck out to me were when she shows up with his jersey on.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey. And like, I don't know, just made my heart melt because he was just... He absolutely loved that she was there wearing his jersey, cheering him on while he was playing his game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also got really scared when he was playing. No. When he went to save that kid from getting hit by the, what do you call that thing? The Zamboni?
Zamboni.
Is that what you call that? Yeah. This kid almost got hit and he ran out and grabbed him and slid, but he landed on his hip really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to ice his hip. I was really worried that there would be a big injury and then he would be out. He wouldn't be playing.
Because
the whole thing for him, too, that he's struggling with is he's getting to a point where he's not necessarily the top player anymore because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
And he has these, like, would you call him, like, trying to figure out why he kept having those, like, panic attacks?
Yeah.
Yeah, what you find out in the story.
Yeah,
and the Zambonis.
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
When those would come on.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I forgot he had those.
Because he had one there at that.
Yeah.
After that. He. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't really even his fault what happened. And the guy never blamed him or anything like that.
I mean, I don't even think. Did the other person that was actually on it get in trouble? I don't think they did, which really irritated me because I'm like, Conrad didn't even do anything.
He got on to try to stop it, right?
Yeah.
The Zamboni was heading towards somebody and he was trying to stop it.
But I don't think the kid that was on it or was goofing around that started it got in trouble.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It didn't sound like it.
It just sounded like it. But
he took it to heart very much so.
Like, you don't mess around.
Well, see, he got in trouble. He had to do community service.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For something.
And then they had a big press conference at the end of the book, didn't they?
Yes.
Because
the dad's boy wasn't coming to practice. Remember? Like, he wasn't showing because his dad got really sick with an infection.
Yes.
And he just kept eating at him like, okay, now.
Yeah.
Look what I've done. Look what I've done.
Yeah, he kept blaming himself for that.
But there was a big conference.
At the end because of social media, once again, taking things and twisting it. And so they were attacking Conrad.
Because the drunk dad in the stands was yelling at him.
Yes, that's right. He was coming after Penelope, though, right?
Right.
And Conrad stepped in with the drunk dad. And then it became... what'd they call him? Because they call him King Kong.
Yes.
Right?
But did he end up hitting the drunk guy? But then something happened with the guy's wife or something.
Yeah, from the angle, it had looked like she had got hit by him or something.
It
got blown out of proportion. Then the media was like, he's, you know,
trouble.
Abusive, trouble. And then it's that kid's dad from... when Conrad was a teenager that comes to the press conference and says, no, he's a good guy and everything. And yeah, it all works out in the end, but yeah. Oh, you gotta love social media. You can take one picture at just the right angle and it can twist an entire story. So, all right. Now we're going to keep going with our secondary storyline.
Oh, okay.
You have Steinbeck and Phoenix still.
Yes. Where does Phoenix keep showing up in this one? I'm trying to remember where she keeps. Because I know, like,
I can't remember in Conrad now. I can remember in Doyle, the next one.
Because is she already headed back to her island in this one, or?
I mean, she shows up. I can't remember what.
Yeah.
Her, if she shows.
Well, no, she's trying to get into Declan's house in this one, right?
Yes, because now Steinbeck is on basically Declan's like personal bodyguard at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But did Declan have an event or something? And she, I can't remember in this one. I don't know.
We will get to it. Yeah. We'll get back to it in Doyle. We'll go on to our ratings. What would you give the overall mystery rating for this?
I would say latte.
I'm gonna go latte as well.
How about the suspense?
Latte.
Yep, I agree. How about inspiration?
Espresso.
Yep. Yeah, it's just there. Mm. How about the drama?
Latte.
You cannot have a little bit of drama with Penelope in there. I'm telling you. How about the romance level?
Espresso.
I'd go espresso too. It's a lot of sweet, sweet encounters. What is your overall lasso rating of Conrad?
Three.
I agree. All right. That wraps up our discussion of Conrad. And next week we will be talking about Doyle. And don't forget to head over to literaryescape.com and check out our book club where you can join us for book club discussions.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.